Good morning and welcome to the Shattering Myths program. I am your host, Yada. Here is where we strive to expose the misconceptions that are associated with religion and politics. We do so because no one else is willing to do it, and we do so because it is what God wants us to do. We also expose both military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news this morning, I'm going to try to explain why these things are happening and what they portend for your future. Then during our second hour, we're going to continue to engage God on His terms by way of His Torah teaching. And we will strive to replace, during that time, religion with reason. Our phone number, should you want to engage in this discussion, you're welcome to criticize, question, affirm anything that you hear during today's discussion at 877-376-45. The first item in the news is just a snippet, but it's a snippet with a lot of meaning. The headline reads, Bashar al-Assad's government has agreed to abide by a ceasefire during the Islamic holiday of Eid al-Adha. So, is the purpose of writing the headline was to let you know that Muslims like Europeans will have a ceasefire during Christian holidays, just like Muslims will hold a ceasefire during Islamic holidays. It's so religious of them. But that's really not why I brought up this story. You see that Eid al-Adha, which is called the Festival of the Sacrifice, is celebrated by Muslims to commemorate the willingness of Abraham to sacrifice his son Ishmael as proof of his Islam submission to Allah. Now, there are several things here that are important. First of all, I have routinely on this program identified Ishmael with Islam, and it's nice to have Islam confirm that association. And one of the reasons that it's nice for Islam to confirm its identity with Ishmael is because of Yah's prophecy regarding Ishmael and his descendants and those who would claim him, because it reads like today's newspaper. Think of Muslims who just claimed Ishmael here. As I share this prophecy, God said he will be a wild ass of a man. His hand will be raised against his brother, and his brother's hand will be raised against him. And he will live in hostility with the entire world. Sunni versus Shia Islam today is fighting a bloody battle, brother against brother. For who shall control the minds and hearts and pocketbooks and guns of the Islamic world? And if there ever were a group of people living in hostility to everything valuable and worthy on this planet, it would be Muslims. God's prophecy was exacting, and it's nice of Muslims to accept accountability. The next thing I want to share with you regarding this process is, in this prophecy and this statement by Muslims, is that there is no indication with God that one name is as good as another, that one son is as good as another, that one plan is as good as another. When Abraham asked Yahweh, would it be possible, would it be acceptable to include Ishmael in your one and only covenant, God said, absolutely not. Would not discuss the matter with him. He just said, absolutely not. No. Now, the reason that's a real problem is that just a name, Ishmael versus Isaac, just a name. You know, it's one son versus another. It's, you know, just one guy's ideas to what might be acceptable to God in terms of participation in his covenant. God said, absolutely not. It's going to be my way or nothing. No. This also brings up a real problem for Paul. You see, Paul wrote in the in his first letter, that's to the Galatians, that the covenant that was memorialized on Mount Sinai, that would be the covenant that is presented in the Torah, was of the flesh, and that it was of Hagar, therefore Ishmael, and that it enslaved. God begs to differ. There was no covenant with Hagar. There was no covenant with Ishmael. The covenant that is memorialized in the Torah is with Yishak. And therefore, Paul lied. Paul lied about the single most important thing in the universe to God. If you are a Christian, and if you view Paul's words as scripture, you have been beguiled. You have been deceived on the single most important issue in the universe, one that God is not the least bit compromising on. Of the covenant that Paul is addressing, God said, absolutely not. No, you can't have a relationship with me by any other terms than those that I have laid out for you. And they are through Abraham, Yishak, and Jacob. Moving on to the next item in the news, I have devoted a significant part of this program to proving that the President of the United States lied about what is perhaps the single greatest threat, at least external threat, to the United States, that of fundamentalist Islamic terrorism. And it is in the debate that took place, the middle of debate, when Romney tried to pin the tail on the donkey and proved that the president lied. Romney couldn't do it because he used the word terrorist as opposed to Islamic terrorism. And he did not make his point well, and so he not only let the president get off the hook, but he made a fool of himself. Here's the truth. The President of the United States, the State Department, the White House, collectively blamed what happened in Libya that killed four Americans, including the U.S. ambassador, on a trailer that had been posted on the Internet depicting Mohammed accurately but foolishly. He not only did that, he did it for day upon day after day, that apologized for the film, said the United States had nothing to do with the film, said that the film was repulsive, ran ads in the Islamic world disassociating America from the film, but associating the film with the terrorist attack, saying that it was a spontaneous response to the film that led to the deaths of those Americans. That's factually untrue. And the White House knew it was factually untrue. So I'm going to share an article that was presented by Reuters again this morning. This is an article by Reuters this morning. You won't find it in the New York Times. You won't find it in the Los Angeles Times. You won't find it in CNN, because those newspapers are so devoted to the Democratic and liberal cause, they aren't going to present the truth to you about proving that the President of the United States lied on this issue. But Reuters did, to their credit. Reuters, officials at the White House and State Department were advised 2 hours after the attackers assaulted the U.S. diplomatic mission in Benghazi, Libya, on September 11th, that an Islamic militant group had claimed credit for the attack. Official emails now prove. Case is closed. It's over. The emails from the Benghazi office of the U.S. Embassy demonstrate that it was a terrorist attack by Ansar Sharia, which is the Friends of Sharia Law, a fundamentalist Islamic group. It was not the spontaneous reaction to a film. The emails obtained by Reuters from government sources not connected with U.S. spy agencies or the State Department and who requested anonymity specifically mentioned that the Libyan group called Ansar al-Sharia had asserted responsibility for the attacks. They not just only claimed responsibility for the attacks, they were witnessed perpetrating the attacks. Their leader was there. Their trucks that were, you remember the Libyan rebels all had heavy armaments and weapons mounted to the backs of their trucks, everything from rocket propelled grenades to 50 caliber machine guns. Well, they showed up in their trucks, the Ansar al-Sharia trucks, and the leader of Ansar al-Sharia was on the scene coordinating the attack. The brief emails also show how U.S. diplomats described the attack even as it was still underway in their emails to Washington. The U.S. Ambassador Christopher Stevens and three other Americans were killed, murdered, during the Benghazi assault, which President Barack Obama and other U.S. officials ultimately acknowledged was a terrorist attack carried out by militants with suspected links to al-Qaeda affiliates or sympathizers. Bull. Absolute bull. This administration has never announced that this was a premeditated attack prompted by Ansar al-Sharia, Friends of Sharia Law, a fundamentalist Islamic organization. No ties whatsoever to al-Qaeda. Ansar al-Sharia's ties are depicted in their name. They are Friends of Sharia Law. They're fundamentalist Muslims. They want to impose Sharia law. Their only association is with Islam, period, full stop. They perpetrated this attack. The White House knew that they had done so. And yet the White House has never apologized to the world for telling the world that this attack was perpetrated by people who were enraged that Muhammad was insulted during in a movie trailer. And that's what he conveyed to the world. It was a lie. He knew it was a lie at the time. He has never admitted that he lied. And most Americans don't seem to care why. The lie for him served his interest more than the truth. More on that in a moment. The administration spokesperson, including White House spokesman Jay Kerry, citing an unclassified assessment prepared by the CIA, maintained for days that the attacks were spontaneous as a protest against an anti-Muslim film. Yes. Jay Carney, lead spokesperson for the President of the United States, asserted for days, as did the President of the United States, even in an address to the United Nations, that the attack was a spontaneous protest against an anti-Muslim film. He knew for a fact that was not the case. And yet, he chose to promote a myth to beguile the nation for a specific reason. Do you know that reason? Do you care? I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. We were talking about why the White House, Barack Obama continued to say that the attacks were a spontaneous protest against an anti-Muslim film when all of the evidence was to the contrary, when they knew for certain that that was not the case. Why did they choose to lie rather than tell the truth over something this significant? You know the reason. The reason was actually brought up again, at least a clue to the reason, at the last presidential debate. Romney was speaking about the battle against Islamic extremism. Now, our problem isn't Islamic extremism, it's Islamic fundamentalism. But when the president then responded to him, he left the word Islamic out and just said, our problem and our fight is against extremism. You see, the movie, if it can be blamed, can be called extremist because it has an extreme view of Muhammad. Now, the view of Muhammad in the movie is accurate. Muhammad was a pedophile. He was a rapist. He was a terrorist. He was a mass murderer. That's how he is presented in the movie. That's how he actually was, according to 100% of the information we have about this man collected from the first two centuries after his death. But the movie's views are extreme. And therefore, if an extremist can be blamed, then extremism becomes the new enemy. And therefore, the president, rather than fighting against Islam, which he loves, can fight against any view that is counter to his own. Any view that stands up and says, you know, Social Security and Medicare aren't benefits, they're liabilities. our government creating a dependence culture isn't a good thing, it's a bad thing. Those views are unique. They're uncommon, and therefore they're extreme. And therefore, if the president prevails and beguiles the majority of Americans into believing that the ambassador was killed and that the 9/11 suicide bombings occurred because of extremism as opposed to as a result of fundamentalist Islam, then he can expand his group of foes so that they include anyone opposed to what he favors. And he can eliminate Islam from the list of enemies, even though it is the sole source. That's why. The lie served his interest. The truth didn't. So he chose to lie. Now, while officials did mention the possible involvement of extremists, because extremists, of course, now just deals with the movie can be considered, as I shared with you, an extreme expression. They did not lay blame on any specific militant groups or possible links to Al-Qaeda or its affiliates until intelligence officials publicly alleged that on September 28th. And on September 28th, I shared on this program the reality that it was known for a fact that the President of the United States lied in this regard. The records obtained by Reuters consist of three emails dispatched by the State Department's Operations Center to multiple government offices, including addresses at the White House, the Situation Room, the Pentagon, and intelligence communities throughout Washington, including the FBI, on the afternoon of September 11th, when this attack occurred. The first email, timed at 4:05 p.m. Washington time, or 10:05 p.m. Benghazi time, 20 minutes after the attack on the U.S. mission allegedly began, carried the subject line, U.S. diplomatic mission in Benghazi under attack, and the notation, SBU, meaning sensitive but unclassified. All right. 20 minutes after the attack, we knew that the embassy was under attack. The text said the State Department's regional security office had reported the diplomatic mission in Benghazi was under attack. Embassy in Tripoli reports approximately 20 armed people were firing shots and explosions had been heard as well. Now, you don't get explosions from fired shots. That means much more significant armament. The message continued. Ambassador Stevens, who is currently in Benghazi, and four personnel are in the compound safe haven. The 17th of February militia is providing security support, whoever they might be. The second email, headed Update 1, U.S. diplomatic mission in Benghazi, and timed 4:54 p.m. Washington time, said that the embassy in Tripoli had reported that the firing at the U.S. diplomatic mission in Benghazi had stopped and that the compound had been cleared. It said that a response team was at the site and attempting to locate missing personnel. It is then the third email, timed 6:07 p.m. Washington time. It carried the subject line, update, answer, Al-Sharia claims responsibility for Benghazi attack. You don't get any more clear than that. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths.
You know what?
Good morning and welcome back to Shattering Myths. So you can join this discussion by calling 877-300-7645. Yes, indeed. The third email, written to the White House and to the State Department. Received in the White House Situation Room, where all intelligence data is cleared. Sent at 6:07 p.m. on September 11th. Reads update number 2. Ansar al-Sharia claims responsibility from Benghazi attack. The message reported, Embassy Tripoli reports the group claimed responsibility on Facebook and on Twitter and has called for an attack on the embassy in Tripoli. We knew the truth. He knew the truth. The administration knew the truth. They chose to lie instead. They chose to blame the attack on the anti-Mohammed film. Now, I don't even know if the film is anti-Islam or anti-Muslim or anti-Muhammad, because all it does is present the truth about Muhammad. And it does so in a childish way, but the information, the portrait of Muhammad is perfectly accurate. You know, if you were to call Sandusky of Penn State infamy a pedophile, and you were to present him as a pedophile, is that an anti-Sandusky movie, or is it just an accurate portrayal of who he is? But the President of the United States chose to blame the movie as opposed to hold Ansar al-Sharia accountable, mainly because he knew, after all, his name is an Arabic name. He knew he was raised in a madrasa and in an Islamic school. He knows what I have told you, that Ansar al-Sharia is friends of Sharia law, the supporters of Sharia law. And to be a supporter of Sharia law, you are a fundamentalist Muslim. He knew that they perpetrated the attack, and he knew what weapons were brought to bear against the embassy. The very weapons that America had supplied the Mujahideen that had replaced Gaddafi. It didn't serve his agenda because he wanted to take credit for the democracy of Libya, when in fact all he did is replace a secular thug with a bunch of Muslim terrorists. It didn't fit his view of the world that he had helped shape. So he lied. And Americans don't seem to care. Maybe it's because what we've got in this election is the personification of evil against a moron. And America is looking back and forth and saying, say what? We have Larry on the line, and well, there's much more to report on this particular revelation. Larry, I'd love to have your insights here as to what we learned today, that at 6:07 p.m. in an email directly from the U.S. Embassy to the White House was told that Ansar al-Sharia had claimed responsibility for the attack.
I'm reading that exact piece today. It's right on Drudge, right front page. He knew. He decided to lie, and I think you just hit the nail on the head. He lied because he knew two things. He knew that he was taking credit for bringing freedom and democracy to Libya when he was bringing Sharia law to. By the way, he did that in Egypt.
That's only about a third of the issue. I mean, this reshaping of the Arab Spring is a democratic uprising as opposed to an Islamic reformation. That's about a third of the reason. I mean, two-thirds of the reason.
He knows
he wants to redefine the enemy.
Yeah, he was arming them, too.
Well, that's part of it.
He's hiding. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he provided the weapons and encouraged the supply of the weapons that were used to kill our ambassador. That's what happens when you befriend snakes, you get bitten by them. Yes, that the combination of it completely condemned his view of what happened in Libya, and therefore his participation in reshaping the Libya, rather than being a positive thing, is now seen bold-faced as a lie, as something that was negative.
I have the answer to all this. I have the answer for all this. I really do. I have the answer for all of it. You know, you ask me a question to anything, and I have the answer. Go ahead. Ask me. Go. Just
look at him. What I mean, I've told you that there's two reasons that he lied. One was, and the primary reason was, he wants to redefine the enemy and exclude Islam from being the enemy, and redefine the enemy as extremism, which he views as any conservative who would oppose him. And second, he wanted to continue the myth that he has shaped the Middle East in a way that is positive as opposed to, in truth, negative. But what's your answer?
Invest in education.
Stump
your toe. You know, gas prices got you down. You got a problem with food prices. We'll invest in education.
Okay.
See, I know the answer.
Yeah, that sounds like you're participating in the debate.
I'm get right in there. I've got the answer.
By the way, that is the answer. It's just, what do you choose to observe? What do you choose to read? What do you choose to study? Where do you go for the answer? If you choose to
observe. I've never told the truth about that. The
no.
fact is, you want to get to the truth. You want to root right. out the lies and get to the truth. And you know, when you finally do that, and as a guy that looked for over a decade, I can tell you, when you get there, it's Yahweh's words. That's
right.
what it is. And you don't find them in religious books either, by the way.
No. No, it's in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms. That's where God teaches us the answers and answers the questions that we ask. So he teaches us, guides us, and provides us with these kinds of answers.
Have we ever seen a political actor mention that?
Yeah, there's a lot of political actors mentioned in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms. They're all condemned.
I said, have you ever seen a political... Yeah, there are, in very
yeah.
negative ways.
Yes.
But have you ever seen a political actor that said, you know, if we would just get to the truth of everything, we could solve the world's problems?
No. In fact, that's the article that I was going to cover today, and I might be 2 days now away from doing it, on the reason why American politicians on the national level all choose to lie to present a rosy picture of, not just a rosy picture, to tell Americans that they're the best, to tell Americans that everything about America is the best in the world and that America's future is just so perfect. Is what they all do, and there's a reason for that, and there's an article that I hope we'll get to. I want to continue a little more on this article. It says, while some information identifying recipients of this message was redacted, means removed, from copies of the messages obtained by Reuters, a government source said that one of the addresses to which the message was sent was the White House Situation Room. It's President's secure command post. Other addresses included the intelligence and military units, as well as one used by the FBI command center. By the morning of September 12th, the day after the Benghazi attack, Reuters reported that there were indications that members of both Ansar al-Sharia, a militia based in Benghazi, was involved in organizing the attacks. I read that report to you on this show on the morning of September 12th. Because it became obvious that this was perpetrated by Ansar al-Sharia, because their trucks were seen, their weapons were seen, their leaders were seen, all at the point of the attack. During that time, I remember presenting a BBC article. I'm going to share a little bit of what that BBC article said. This was on September 12th that I reported this to you. It says, reports say that a militia known as Ansar al-Sharia was involved in the attack, but this is the BBC, but the group has denied the claim, the BBC's Rana Jawad in Tripoli says. No, the opposite is true. At the time that the BBC went to press with this, Ansar al-Sharia had actually claimed credit for the attack. Not only were they seen, witnessed perpetrating it, they had claimed credit for it. That's the one, too, that makes it absolutely credible. Now, there are lots of terrorist attacks that groups claim that they don't actually do. But most of the time when they claim it, they have done it. But in this case, they were witness doing it, and then they claimed credit for it. But the BBC lied. In response to the protest, diplomats from the besieged compound said in a statement, the embassy of the United States in Cairo condemns the continuing efforts by misguided individuals to hurt the religious feelings of Muslims, as we condemn efforts to offend the believers of all religions. Later, the embassy's official Twitter feed condemned both the provocative film and the attack on the compound. So, right after it happened, the U.S. embassy evidently told how to respond so that we can create a story that is anti-extremism as opposed to holding fundamentalist Islam accountable, was told to put out a story and says, hey, we condemn this movie because it hurts the religious feelings of Muslims. We condemn the efforts that offend believers of all religions. They played right along, giving the President of the United States the opportunity to deceive Americans on what may well be the single most important issue of our day. And collectively, the State Department and the White House created this ruse that all of this was because of the efforts of an extremist to hurt the religious feelings of Muslims. The U.S. consulate was overrun and torched in a military-style assault, is what we knew on the 12th. This was not the kind of thing, you know, you look at riots in the Islamic world, and they happen all the time, and you look at the protests, and one of the things that you don't see at the protests is you'll see an occasional AK-47 being shot in the air. But when they're protesting something that they don't like cartoons or that sort of thing, you don't see a convoy of 50 caliber machine guns and rocket propelled grenades mounted to trucks. And yet that was what was brought to bear against the U.S. Embassy, and we knew it at the time. The attackers used guns.
It takes a little bit of planning. You know, it's not something that, you know, I'm watching a cartoon or a movie or, you know, I get upset and I decide to go out in the street and throw a hissy fit. You know, it's hard to pull the 50 caliber out and
the attackers used, yeah, the attack, this is the BBC article. The attackers used heavy machine guns, they're 50 caliber, mortars and grenades. They're all American weapons. U.S. and Libyan officials have said the attack had been planned in advance. Yeah, you don't just fire up your 50 caliber machine gun and say, you know, spontaneously, I think I'm just going to be right here outside of the U.S. Embassy, along with my comrades who happen to have mortars and rocket propelled grenade launchers. Of course, amongst the assailants, the Libyans identified units of the heavily armed Islamic group Ansar al-Sharia. There you go. Morning to the 12th. Even the media knew. The White House knew. There was no confusion. The stories didn't change. They were always the same. It was the lie that grew out of them that is important for us to know. Final segment of the news hour of Shattering Myths. I want to add one other item to this, and then we will go to Steve calling in from Washington State. Republican Mitt Romney, as I'm sure many of you know, Obama's challenger, criticized the president's response to the crisis. He said that the timing of the statement from the U.S. Embassy denouncing efforts by misguided individuals to hurt the religious feelings of Muslims made Obama look weak as protesters were attacking U.S. missions. Romney said it was disgraceful to be seen to be apologizing for the American value of free speech. Obama's campaign accused Romney of trying to score political points at the time of a national tragedy. Obama said Romney has a tendency to shoot first and then aim later. So here's the President of the United States. He's deliberately misleading the American people. He is crafting his lie so that he can present the revolution in Libya as a good thing as opposed to a disaster, when we have proof that it was a disaster, and him trying to reshape the enemy so as to exonerate fundamentalist Islam. There's nothing more fundamentalist Islam than being a supporter of Sharia law, and to label the new enemy as extremists, and he's got caught in the midst of this. And so what does he do? When Romney holds him accountable, He lashes out at Romney and saying he shoots first and aims later. Why? Because Romney was exposing the president for something that was, in fact, disgraceful. Now we have Steve on the line. What say you as it relates to the president of the United States lying about something as serious as Islamic terrorism?
Yeah, I don't remember the timing of what I heard on television from President Obama, but I do remember him coming on and saying the future does not belong to those who insult the Prophet Muhammad. And I believe that he was talking about that movie trailer that was made. So I just wanted to interject during a tragedy and during telling a lie, he would prop up his prophet and almost right. justify the killing of American citizens because his prophet was insulted. I think that's just disgusting.
Yeah, I think. think what happened in terms of the president's response to this is he created this this ruse in America that that the extremist film was responsible for the attack, and therefore our enemy is extremism, and he distanced the attack from fundamentalist Islam. And that's what that was his strategy in America. Then outside of America,
I can tell you where he said that, Steve. I can tell you where he said that. The United Nations. He said that at the United Nations, knowing
that was part of
it was a lie.
Yeah,
brought up the film again, by the way. I'm reading the article on it right now.
Okay. The second thing is then when he was speaking to the world, particularly the Islamic world, he had the Secretary of State and himself crafted a series of commercials to run in the Islamic world that that blamed the movie and said that the movie was repulsive and disgusting and tried to distance America from the movie, as opposed to say, wait a minute, this had nothing to do with the movie. The problem here isn't the movie, which depicts Muhammad as a terrorist. The problem here is that Islam responds to the world with their hand raised against their brother's hands raised against them, and they live in hostility with the whole world. The problem here is Islam. And yet the President of the United States commercials, which we as taxpayers paid for, lied and supported Islam as opposed to held Islam accountable. So, Larry, that statement about insulting the prophet Muhammad, who, by the way, wasn't a prophet because he never got a single prediction right, was actually part of his United Nations speech. Because the United Nations speech, as I recall it, what he did is he used a backhanded way to blame the movie. He said that the Islamic response to the movie was inappropriate, which is to say that the movie caused the response, which it did not do. And that was his kind of backwards way of getting away from Romney's criticism while at the same time keeping the focus on the movie being the source of the violence when he knew full well that was not the case.
Yeah, well, yeah, I just watched it. It was Obama's address to the UN, and, quote, he said, "The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam." That's,
wow.
That's what it says.
Wow. Wow. Could you send me a
Christ,
could you send me
no future with this guy?
Yeah, can you please send me a link to that, because the future is from the adversary's perspective, from Satan's perspective, from the Antichrist perspective, is exactly as the President of the United States just stated.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity.